from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Week one of the NFL season is in the rear view, so it's time for our first of many installments throughout the NFL season with Mike Keith, the radio voice of the Tennessee Titans. He is on X at 10 Voice. Mike, how's it going?
Dave, it's good to be with you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Kind of a rough start to the season, I would say. And I think really the conversation for the Titans is revolving around Will Levis at this moment. What do you make of the conversation and that first game he had? Definitely a rough pick six, but it's a long season, 16 more games.
That's right. And I mean, I think that's the part of it that is hard to keep in mind when you have a mistake at the end of the game that so glaringly cost you the points that cost you the game. You just have that sort of burned into your mind to the point you say, oh boy, you know, where are we and everything. But the reality is, this is a guy who started 10 games. Mm-hmm. He started 9 last year in a completely different system. His offensive line is almost totally new. It's 80% new. I mean, we knew this was going to take a minute. And it's hard to take the deep breath at this moment in time and realize that this guy's going to have a chance to get there. But this whole thing is going to take time. And, Gabe, when we got out to the 17-0 lead, you said, okay, these things that we had worried about, new offense, new defense, new special team, new head coach, new coordinators, all these different players. We only had 25 players on the roster on Sunday that were on the opening day roster in 2023. Wow. So you're saying, okay, all that stuff we've been worried about, forget it. That was me being worried about nothing. And then the second half comes, and particularly for the offense, all the new shows up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where we were, is you're saying, okay, all the stuff I worried about really did come true. Is it my fault that I worried about it?
Right.
So I think that's where Will is. That's kind of where we are as a team. And it may be bumpy for a minute. We're going to get there. I think we've got the people in place. I think Will's going to be a really, really good pro quarterback. But he can't make that mistake in a 17-16 game. I know what he was trying to do. I understand it. I don't think he was being stupid. You know, it's not like getting a personal foul penalty when one of your players scores a touchdown because you take a swing at somebody. He's trying to avoid losing the yardage. I get it. But guess what? In that situation, it's going to be fourth down anyway. Take the sack.
Yeah, and their offense hadn't done a thing all day.
No, and the other part of it, too, is, I mean, let's say you punt it back to them and they go down the field and kick a field goal. Well, mm-hmm. Gabe, then all you need is a field goal.
You're right.
You know, what changed it for us is suddenly we get the ball back with 6 whatever remaining, and we need a touchdown. And that's a completely different scenario. So he's got to think scenario, how do I manage this? What do I do next? All of these sorts of things have to come into focus, and he's not there yet.
Yep.
And that was, you know, that was a mistake that bit us in the butt, and he can't make that mistake again.
Yeah, and I think there is a positive to take from this whole thing. You can't make that mistake again, so don't repeat it. But also, Brian Callahan, I mean, he's used to, you know, giving lessons to young quarterbacks, and that was a unbelievably teachable game and moment in general.
Yeah. I mean, and he talked about it some yesterday. We did his radio and his TV show yesterday, and yeah, I mean, he's hurting, you know, because this is one you let get away that you, I mean, when you're ahead 17 to nothing in college football, it's one thing.
Yeah.
When you're ahead 17 to nothing in the pros, that's a massive lead, and to let it get away hurts, but at the same time, you're saying, okay, we had a 67-yard kickoff return allowed, punt block for a touchdown allowed, interception when the quarterback's trying to just throw the ball away, return for a touchdown. Those three things aren't going to happen again on Sunday against the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
One of them might, but all three of them aren't going to happen again. And so you're going back in and you're talking to your team this week about, look, let's take care of us. The Jets are a better team overall than the Bears. We've got a real challenge in front of us, but let's just take care of us. Because when we did that during the course of the ball game, we did some things well. And that's going to be the message.
Yep. Now, you got to see the first regular season game from Caleb Williams. I will say, I think he's only going to go up from here. I think there will be more impressive games ahead of him. But what did you make of his sort of command and how he looked in game one? I think most of the rookies seem to struggle, the three starting quarterback rookies.
Yeah, and most of them do. Very rarely does a rookie not struggle. And what's funny about it, Gabe, it's kind of like when you tell your child what it's going to be like to take the ACT. You're like, listen, you got to go in there, and you're going to get a little panicky. And you know what they say to you is, Dad, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guidance counselor tells them, and the teachers tell them, and friends who have taken it tell them. And they're like, oh, I got this. And then they walk in there and they flip out.
Yep.
Right? Caleb Williams was saying, oh, I'm not nervous. You know, I've done this. I played at a big school in the D.C. area. I played at Oklahoma. I played at SC. I got this. And then he gets real game speed in the NFL, a real defense. And he says, oh, my goodness. I mean, I bet he had not ever looked like that at any point in his entire life back to grass cutters. But you know what? That's the NFL.
Yep.
And I think he's going to be fine. I think he'll be a star. Credit him for not making a big mistake, because he didn't. If he had, the Bears lose the game. And he didn't. But I think he'll learn a lot. I mean, as young quarterbacks, and even for Will with 10 starts, it's hard.
Yep.
I mean, when you're playing against a good defense especially, it is hard. And these guys both experienced it. You know, we saw it a lot around the NFL totally.
Yeah.
We had half of the NFL teams in the league, 16, gained less than 300 yards in total offense.
Uh-huh.
There were only two 300-yard passers in week one. There were seven 100-yard rushers, which is rare. Normally, you have about the same number of 300-yard passers as 100-yard rushers, in some cases more 300-yard passers on a weekly basis. But this was a strange week one.
Well, but here's the thing. I think there's a couple of things you can attribute it to, right? I think the lessening of preseason, the games in general, a lot of these starters not getting a lot of time in the preseason to get that game speed. And then let's be honest about this, Mike. Football is cyclical. The Tampa 2, more high safeties, limiting big plays, keeping everything in front of you, that's part of the game. And we have a lot of quarterbacks that have been trained previously to try to take the deep shots downfield, to try to, not necessarily live to fight another down. Only the best of the best, really, at this moment are doing that. I think Patrick Mahomes has learned that over the years. Baker Mayfield did a great job of it this week. But I think also those two high safety looks, they have definitely limited what the quarterback can do down to down. And we have a lot of younger quarterbacks that need to learn to live and fight another down.
That, and, you know, that was something for Will Levis, because he knew against Matt Eberflus's defense, that's what he was going to have to do. He was going to have to make the smart choices. So it's hard, because that's, again, that's not what you want to do. The other part of it, too, is defensive players have had a scheme in place all off season for game one. Mm-hmm. They've known exactly what they wanted to do, and Gabe, they're 100% healthy.
Yep.
So they want to go with their best nickel package. They want to go with a nickel linebacker. They want to rotate in these particular players for this situation. They've got everybody. By week seven, they'll be lucky if they have 70% of that, and they only have 6 days to get ready for the next game.
Mm-hmm. It's a wild reality. It's a wild reality. I did see also there was a stat about passing touchdowns in the first week of the NFL season. This is a five-year low from what we've seen. So, like, as much as we want to sort of corner Will Levis and Caleb Williams and some of the rookies, it was just a league-wide problem for the most part. Now, I do want to go to another team in the AFC where Brian Callahan's coming from. What'd you think of that performance from the Bengals losing to the Patriots week one? It felt like it was unfathomable.
Well, and so the Bengals have had this problem in week one and week two, for that matter, under Zach Taylor, who I think is a really good coach. And everyone said, well, it's been because Joe Burrow wasn't healthy. He was coming off of surgery, or he couldn't. And guess what? Joe Burrow was able to practice through training camp, and the feeling was they'll come out and they'll be smoking. And, boy, they were smoking in a bad way. They were leaking oil.
Right.
I mean, it was not what you want. And I think overall, you kind of wonder about them. I mean, that's a bad loss. It's a home loss. No juice against a team on paper you appear a lot better than. It's an AFC loss, which makes it a bad thing. Just not good. I mean, just
right.
No other way to put it other than not good for the Cincinnati Bengals. And you know, we'll see if they can get it back on track this week.
And listen, they're notorious slow starters, Joe Burrow the same way, but I think we still have concerns about his wrist injury. We have concerns about him and Ja'Marr Chase not linking up in training camp because he held out the entire time. But we'll see how that ages. Now, when it comes to the AFC, that was one of the teams I sort of put in the conversation because we've seen it in the past. Hey, maybe by the time we get to the playoffs, that's a team that can compete and maybe knock off the Chiefs, even though I still think it's relatively unlikely. In the AFC, what's your sort of short list of teams that you think can really go press the Chiefs right now? Like, how many teams? What are those teams?
I think the team we're going to see this week can be one of them. I think the Jets can be one of them, because if Aaron Rodgers can get going, then Aaron Rodgers can make this team a Super Bowl contender based on what the defense looks like for Robert Saleh's team. They're nasty. Now, in the game last night, harder to read because they fall behind, and then San Francisco runs the ball. And so it doesn't look like they're a nasty defense because they gave up 400 yards, but we all know when you're playing from behind, you're in a completely different situation against anybody in the league who can load it up and run it. Oh, by the way, San Francisco's the NFC champ.
Right.
Just to throw that in. So I think they are part of the conversation to me. I think Baltimore is very much part of the conversation. I think they are a very dangerous team. I'm interested in Miami.
Okay.
Because Miami is, you know, they got weapons on defense, and we know what they are on offense. Pretty nice win over Jacksonville in week one, coming from behind. That's certainly a team that intrigues me in terms of what they could do and what they could be. So far, they haven't gotten it done in the playoffs, so it's got to happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about that in-division team, the Texans?
You know, the Texans have a tremendous amount of talent, and they got a good win in week one at Indy. On paper, I still like Jacksonville 1-53 better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, Jacksonville has a really, really solid team that went in the tank down the stretch last year almost inexplicably. Mm-hmm. We beat them in week 18 in a game they needed to win, and we're playing out the string on a 5-11 season that, you know, we got all kinds of issues with injury, and it just didn't make any sense. Not a good sign for them to start with the kind of loss they had, but I think to go into Miami and to have control of that game, which they did, tells you a lot about who they can be. So I like Houston. I think there's a very real chance that Houston and Jacksonville are both playoff teams. Jacksonville has a little bit more. And remember this, too, about Houston. They're playing a first-place schedule this year.
They are. Yep, correct.
So three of their games, which were against last-place teams a year ago, are against first-place teams this mm-hmm. year. And Indianapolis, who they beat in week one, wasn't one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I hear you. Now, last thing for you, Mike. They're talking with Mike Keith, the radio voice of the Tennessee Titans on X at 10 Voice. I do have to bring up my favorite player on the field, though, for the Tennessee Titans this week. What'd you think of Tavondre Sweat in his first game in a Titans uniform in the regular season? He has no business being as athletic as he is for that size.
Scary.
It's ridiculous.
We've never had since we've been in this state, so what now, 27 years, something like that? We've never had a player like him. Albert Haynesworth was big, not that big, but he was a defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some guys who weighed more than 350, but they were pluggers, you know?
Yep.
They were first.
Two-gappers, that
players.
Type of thing.
Yeah, this guy is a three-down player at 370 pounds. I mean, he can rush the passer. He's got moves.
Right.
He could be lighter.
Sure.
You know, I mean, he certainly could be lighter, and I think probably at some point he'd like to be. But he would be a whoppingly big man even if he were not an athlete. And I think when you talk about people with that natural size, they're used to being able to do things like smaller people because this is who they are, Gabe. I mean, you played with them.
Yeah.
There's some guys who are just freaky because that's who they are. I mean, Tavondre can play basketball.
Right.
Tavondre has a lot of skills, and he and Jeffrey Simmons together are going to make things scary. Both of them played well in Chicago. Neither one of them had massive stats,
mm-hmm.
but the difference for both players is because they played well, they opened things up for the linebackers, they opened things up for the edge rushers, they opened things up for other defensive linemen who were in the game, and, you know, they will eat. Mm-hmm. Their moments will come, but their opportunities if you don't figure out how to block Jeff Simmons, he'll make a sack every single play.
Yep.
Or he'll make a tackle in the backfield every single play. So the Bears double teamed him. And then Tavondre the poor center for Chicago.
It's brutal. I mean, I was trying to go back to my playing days thinking about a 6'4", 370-pound man doing an arm over on me after, swiveling his hips. That's impossible to block. That's so hard. Well, with that type of mass coming at you in strength, it's just so impossible.
And the center for them was listed at 295. So he, on paper, outweighs the guy by 75 pounds.
Yes.
I mean, that's like something in Little League where the kid had the spray paint on his helmet signifying he's too big to touch
right.
the ball.
Correct. Yep.
You know, I mean, it's just and this is why, I mean, what you're raising is why we're still very optimistic.
Right.
And why no matter what happens in September, we're going to continue to be optimistic. We need to win one of these games. You know, we do not need to start over, but this ball club, I think, is going to be really dangerous as the season goes on because all of this new will wear off, and we'll start playing together in a way that will give us a chance to be really unsettling to a lot of people.
Yep, I fully agree with that. And I think that defense could be a nice little calling card. We'll see how Will Levis comes along. But we will talk again next week about that. I'm sure we'll catch up on it. But, Mike, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Gabe. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. That's Mike Keith, the radio voice of the Tennessee Titans. He's on X at 10 Voice.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.